but neutral electromagnetic energy as well. Hit it with a burst of gamma rays powerful enough to fry a rhinoceros, and it merely soaks them up. It actually uses the incoming radiation to power itself. It's pretty fundamental, said the physicist. To you it's fundamental, Thornberry said. To me it's a bit of black magic. Jordan felt impressed, although he didn't fully understand the principles Thornberry was talking about. Even Meek seemed pleased with what he was learning. His suspicions were melting away, slowly, in the light of newfound knowledge. The things they can do with biology, he said over lunch one afternoon. Not only do they manipulate DNA to produce new species, they can control genetic expression and suppress aging. Longyear, Defaya, Yamaguchi, and Vereshkova visited the city in turn, each of them brimming with enthusiasm about what they were learning. Hazard and the others aboard Gaia came down from time to time and got swept up in the new knowledge Adri's people were sharing so freely. Jordan was pleased, very pleased, especially since he and Aditi were living together now. He spent his days checking with the others, strictly informally, and talking with Adri about how well everyone was getting along. He spent his nights with Aditi. It's uncanny, Longyear told Jordan one afternoon. Parallel evolution was just a far-out concept that nobody really expected to be real, but here's a whole planet full of parallel species. The biologist's earlier suspicions seemed to be washed away by the new discoveries he was making. Only Defaya remained puzzled.
Either my basic geology program is screwed up, or this planet doesn't make sense.
He was having dinner with Jordan, Brandon, Elise, and Aditi in the city's main dining hall. The spacious high-ceilinged room was filled with whistling conversations and clattering dinnerware. Jordan heard laughter drifting from several tables. He saw Thornberry and Vereshkova sitting at a long table with a dozen alien scientists, and Meek sitting amiably with Adri and a pair of other aliens. Meek? Jordan shook his head in wonder. What's wrong with your program? Brandon asked the geologist. The Fire's round, beard-trimmed face looked troubled.
It's giving me ridiculous results,
Brandon prompted. Such as?
Well, you know that Adri's people have been feeding me all the geological data I've asked for, and Hazard's been dropping seismological probes all across the planet.
Jordan nodded.
When I feed the data to the computer for a geological profile, I get impossible results,
Defaya complained. What do you mean? Elise asked. Looking almost embarrassed, Defaya said,
the model of the planet's interior that the program draws up shows that this planet is hollow.
Jordan blurted, hollow? Defaya nodded morosely.
It just doesn't make any sense.
How could a planet be hollow? Jordan asked. Brandon laughed. Maybe your computer was programmed by one of the Hollow Earth kooks back home.
It's not funny, said Defaya. I've gone over the damned program 6 ways from Sunday, and I can't find the glitch in it.
The planet can't be hollow, Jordan said. But he turned to his brother and added, could it? No way, said Brandon, wagging his head. If it were hollow, it wouldn't have the mass to produce the gravity we experience.
But the computer keeps saying it's hollow,
Defaya insisted. Your program's got to be wrong, said Brandon. Why don't you get Thornberry to take a look at it?
I already have. He and Tanya went over everything. They couldn't find the glitch.
Brandon made a sour face. Well, something screwed up someplace. Hollow planets don't exist.
Trouble is, Defaya went on, the computer's model is so damned specific. It shows a shell a couple of 100 kilometers thick, and inside it, nothing. It's hollow.
Can't be, said Brandon.
I know, Defaya agreed. But there it is.
Jordan said, what can you do about it? Defaya broke into a sheepish grin.
What would any geologist do in a situation like this?
Dig.
Dig? Get more evidence. Dig some deep cores and sample what they bring up.
That sounds difficult, said Jordan. With a shrug, Defaya replied,
it beats staring at a computer screen and wondering why the program's gone crazy.
How many cores? Jordan asked. Where?
I've mapped out 6 locations, spread around the planet. I can show you in my lab.
Brandon said, let's adjourn to your lab then. Field trip. The five of them stood before the display screen that covered one entire wall of the room Defia was using as his geology laboratory. It was a fair-sized room, with a floor-to-ceiling window that opened onto one of the city's gracious, tree-lined plazas. Although it was well past sunset, the scene outside was clearly lit by the glow of the pup riding high above the silvery clouds. Shelves filled with rocks, pebbles, containers of dirt lined the two other walls. The room had two long work tables covered with a spectrograph, microscopes, and other equipment, plus a sizable desk that bore a humming computer. The ceiling lights were off. The lab was lit only by the wall screen, which showed a map of the planet slowly rotating, garishly daubed in false colors, and marked with a scattering of bright blue dots. "The colors indicate different types of terrain," Defia was explaining. "And the dots show where we've taken soil and rock samples."
"We?" Jordan asked.
"Robots, mostly. I've done a few quick field trips, but most of the work's being done by robots."
Jordan pulled up one of the stools lining the nearer work table and rested his rear on it. Brandon said,
"So, now you want to dig deep cores?"
Defia nodded.
"Six of them."
To the computer, he commanded,
"Display deep core sites."
Three bright red dots began to flash on the sphere. Another one appeared over its northern rim as the image slowly rotated.
"I intend to drill these cores myself," Defia said. "The robots can do the heavy work, but I'll have to be on site to direct them."
Brandon said, "Suppose I help you. We could cut down the time it'd take." After a moment's hesitation, Defia agreed with an easy smile.
"Sure. I could use all the help I can get."
Turning to Jordan, Brandon asked,
"You want to come along, Jordy?
See how science really gets done." He glanced at Aditi, then said,
"All right, providing it doesn't take too long."
"A few days," said Defia. "Maybe a week."
"You can be away that long," Brandon coaxed.
Looking straight at Aditi, he added,
"You've got nothing else to do."
Jordan seethed inwardly, but said nothing. Elise spoke up.
"I can't leave my work at the observatory. The pup is entering an active cycle from what the astronomers tell me."
Grinning at her, Brandon said, "You wouldn't like it out in the field anyway. Jordy and I will have to rough it. Tents, latrines, that sort of thing."
"I'll stay here in the city, thank you," Elise said.
Aditi said,
"We could provide you with energy shields. You wouldn't need tents."
Jordan could see that Aditi wasn't happy about being separated from him for a week. Later, as they prepared for bed, he asked her, "You don't want to come out with us, do you?" She countered,
"You don't want me to come with you, do you?"
Stretching out on the bed, Jordan answered, "It might be a bit awkward, your being with me while Elise stays here in the city." She slipped into bed beside him.
"You go with your brother, Jordan. I'll miss you, though."
"I'll miss you too, darling."
"But not tonight. Tonight we're together."
"Together," he murmured, reaching for her. But in the back of his mind, he realized that one day he would have to return to Earth. "Will Aditi go with me?" he wondered. "I've got to learn how to fly one of these birds," Brandon muttered as they soared high above a mountain range in one of the rocket planes. "Hazard seems to do the job quite well," said Jordan, sitting in the right-hand seat beside his brother. Hazard's image filled the main screen on the control panel. He appeared to be quite happily controlling the plane from the bridge of Gaia. Brandon shook his head. "It still kind of bothers me, letting Jeff pilot us remotely." "No reflection on you, Jeff," he said to the screen. "Anytime you want to fly one of the birds yourself, just let me know," Hazard said with a malevolent grin. "Just tell me where you want the bodies sent."
"Thanks a lot," said Brandon.
Jordan watched the jagged peaks go past. There were patches of snow huddled in hollows that were sheltered from sunlight. Otherwise, the rocks were bare. Jordan thought he saw what looked like a herd of mountain goats peacefully negotiating the steep slopes. Suddenly, Brandon sat up straighter and pointed.
"There's the sea!"
Jordan saw a broad expanse of water glittering beneath the afternoon sun. A rim of white beach ran along its edge, and the swells appeared to run up smoothly onto the sand without breaking. A gentle, peaceful sea, Jordan thought. No surfing, but the sparkling water looked warm, inviting. Defia had chosen this spot for drilling because his geology profile indicated the planet's crust was thinner here.
If the damned planet really is hollow, he had told Brandon and Jordan, then you might be able to break through the crust and prove it.